You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Monday, November 16th, and it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning to you and your listeners, Andy.
A blessed Monday. Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah, it's always good. And, you know, worshiping the Lord and visiting the family. I went up to see my brother, Russell, who's a pastor at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Decatur. He had his right knee replaced, so he's coming along pretty good. Starting to walk a little bit, and at his tender age, I'll just, you know, what is he, 62 now, so, but he's coming along fine, so we just went up to visit him yesterday and chatted it, so all is good.
Well, good. Well, glad you had a good weekend. It was quite pretty here in Missouri. It was a beautiful weekend, and got out
great.
And enjoyed the nice weather, even did a little bit of hiking.
Oh, you did. Where did you hike?
We have a new trail out in West County, right off of the Al Foster Trail near the Merrimack River.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the weather was great. See, your listeners need to know that Andy Bates is very active and just doesn't stay at the radio there all the time at the KFUO with the headphones on. And that you get out and exercise with your family. So it's all good to know. Exercise is good.
I try to.
That's good.
Well, what do you have for us this morning?
Well, I got several things going on here, and we'll probably focus just on one, and that's this whole issue of compassion. And I realize a lot of this stuff is repetitive, but it's kind of what's happening in bioethics. Things are starting to come to the surface in certain areas of life issues. As things are coming to the surface more frequently, as we all know what happened over in Paris, France, with the radical Islamic attack over there and mm-hmm. what's going on. But just one comment. I think all of us understand that the embryonic stem cell debate was very, very significant 5 to 10 years ago when they had all these conferences going on around the United States, and I even testified in Washington, D.C. and Jefferson City on the value of adult stem cell research over embryonic, and what's happening is that it really hasn't panned out. In a paper in the British Medical Journal of Medical Ethics basically has said that it just isn't working. Hmm. And when they said it's all going to be great, you know, back in 2004 when all of this stuff was getting hyped up, it just hasn't worked. They've tried it with HIV, AIDS, and breast cancer patients, but it just isn't going anywhere because it is terribly, terribly complicated. So many people are terribly upset, but I thought that it would be just important to mention that the embryonic stem cell debate really was oversold when they came down and said this is going to be the cure-all to everything. And many of us who wrote about this mentioned that because understanding embryology, it is just, we don't have time to go into that, but it is so complex to differentiate and pull out the certain kinds of cells from an embryonic human, which is tantamount to murder. So it was just oversold and it hasn't done anything. And there have been no cures to this. So as opposed to adult stem cell, which still continues to work, especially with a bone marrow transplant. The other issue that is still popping big is assisted suicide. And I want to draw your listeners' attention to the magazine The Economist. It is a magazine that is sold, obviously, here in the United States. A lot of people buy it. A lot of people look towards it. But the new editor-in-chief there, she's on the crusade. Her name is Zany Mittenbedos. And she's on the crusade, and this is what she says. For The Economist, the case for allowing doctor-assisted dying relies on personal choice and individual autonomy. Our liberal values and respect for human dignity mean that for this paper, doctor-assisted dying is cause worth championing. So, and I mentioned this, I think, several weeks ago when they came out, The Economist came out in favor of physician-assisted suicide and euthanasia. And, of course, since California's been added to the list of 4, now we have 5, I just thought that people ought to know that if they pick up this magazine, they're going to be pushing a magazine, they can still buy it. That's up to them. But that magazine is very, very pro-death and very much involved with setting up people to show that physician-assisted suicide is the courageous thing to do. And so they're producing videos on this right now, mm-hmm. made by The Economist. And so I just wanted to bring that to light, that this kind of is very troubling, but I really think it's worth mentioning to people that this is one of those magazines that clearly is pushing the physician-assisted suicide here in the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, and other places. The last thing I thought would be good to discuss is the push in the United Kingdom, over in England and here in the United States. And this, again, was found in the Journal of Medical Ethics. And that is the push to basically, how would we say this, push compassion into, to make compassion an official emotion that doctors must demonstrate when they're dealing with patients. Now, think of that one. You must demonstrate compassion. And, of course, in this particular article, they're talking about if you do this, pushing compassion, and that is, let's say, when you're really not compassionate, but you have that feeling, but to demonstrate it, to show it to people, this could lead to caving into treatments that could promote addiction, like pain medicine. It could lead into issues of physician-assisted suicide. It basically comes into the point like we're going to basically over-treat you, and that demonstrates that we have compassion for you. In other words, we're going to give you what you want as opposed to what you need. So when we look at compassion, I think we have to go back to the scriptures, and I just want to point out a few things for your listeners where they can go to the prodigal son, chapter 15 in Luke 15:20, and of course here's the father and sees the son, and the son says, you know, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And then of course the father, and he arose and came to his father, but he was still a long way off. His father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And there's another one that you could go to, and where Jesus raises a widow's son in Luke 7, verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, you know, do not weep. And then there's just one more where Jesus feeds the 5,000. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So my point here is this compassion is not something that you can push or create. It just comes. It just happens. In the Greek, this word compassion basically means a gut-twisting thing that we all have felt when we see certain things, especially what we saw over in Paris, France. So my point here is that it's not something that you can officialize. It is something that comes from certainly a lot of people, but from a Christian viewpoint, the compassion means it's time to take care of that person. It's time to share the comfort and the care that the gospel gives. So I just want to share this whole issue of people trying to mandate compassion in the medical community. It hasn't found its way into the threads of the American Medical Association here yet, nor into doctor's offices, but it's just another one of those things that tends to be creeping up on us, and people say, well, that will never happen, but then again, here we are.
How do we speak about what is true compassion in the public arena? Because as you mentioned earlier, that there's a strong push, a strong campaign for physician-assisted suicide being promoted as compassionate. How do we speak about true compassion in the public arena, and or how do we bring to light that something like physician-assisted suicide isn't truly compassion?
Well, I think what we're dealing with here, and I do think in the secularization of this whole issue where compassion is autonomy, you know, you are a law unto yourself. I think that's the separation point in our society when people are saying, well, he's very compassionate, the doctor, by helping this person commit suicide, by over-treating them, and by doing, and then this person who takes the death cocktail or is euthanized, that's a very compassionate thing to do. And I think they're confusing compassion with autonomy, which means a law unto yourself. And a Christian, you know, we have to make sure in the public square that we differentiate those two, that compassion is really understanding and reaching into the life of another, where you literally, like the Father, you run and you embrace them and you talk to them about the value of human life from our viewpoint, of course, as Christians in Christ, and that we're here to care for you, we're not here to kill you. And so I think that distinction has to be made between compassion that signifies an autonomous person who says, well, I'm a law unto myself, and our society interprets that as compassion, as opposed to the biblical understanding of compassion, where you really, it represents the gracious love beyond the human norm and understanding and reaching into another one's life, which, of course, is what Jesus did by his death and resurrection and his ascension and his return. So those are things I think that we have to continue to emphasize, but this takes a lot of repetition. Now, is that making sense, Andy, in terms of separating these two? What do you think?
It takes some, I'm sure, some time, and you're right, repetition as well of addressing these issues and trying to differentiate between the two. It's a struggle I think we'll always have, as long as you pointed out, we've moved in a secular direction when it comes to this issue of compassion. What does it mean to have compassion? Can we have compassion apart from Christ?
No, I mean, the whole issue from a Christian viewpoint, and I have to stick with that, obviously, mm-hmm. That, you know, compassion is a word that's largely used only of God, of Jesus, and in the parables, which of characters representing God. And of course, when you deal with the Good Samaritan, of course, people are, in commentaries, are talking about how this type of compassion represents Jesus. Compassion is not just an emotion. It is as I said, when you understand and reach into another person's life, you're also a forgiving person. You're also a person who tells the truth. You're not going to cover it. Secularization of compassion, from my viewpoint of reading on it, and I haven't read everything, it's where you basically cotter to the person's will, what they want. You know, thank you, I'm glad you understand what I'm saying. When in fact, compassion, love means is patient, and it means truth-telling. So when you're a compassionate person, you tell the truth, just like the higher hand, or just like the son and the father and the prodigal son. That's part of compassion. That's not autonomy. So I think this constant study of the scriptures, how compassion is used in the Old and New Testament, and of course the Old Testament is replete with the use of this word as well. We're always dealing with, yes, it's an emotion, but it's an emotion that gets into the other person. You reach into them and you care for them, you understand them, and you are truthful in the compassion that you show to them, which may mean this is not something you want to keep doing. This is not something you want to do for your life in Christ. Your identity is baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. So in that context, I believe that's kind of where I'm looking at how compassion is used in the Christian view as opposed to in the secularization of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Dr. Weiss. That's all the time we have today, but God's blessings on your week. We'll talk soon.
And to you, too, and your listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.